Last thing about people, you know, there might be somebody here this morning. You think, boy, these people are weird. All this praising God and raising your hands and saying, now let me tell you something. You think, I heard the other day, somebody said that Michael Jackson was talking to some kind of psychic and going to see a psychic. You know, most of these celebrities kind of got to get some direction from somewhere. And they're like King Saul. God forsook them. And so they go get a witch to tell them what to do. And Michael Jackson has gone to this psychic, tell him what to do. And what he's doing, he's trying to find out who he's going to be in his next life. So when you reincarnate, he's trying to get this person to tell him who he's going to be in his next life and wheel all money to himself. That's brains there, boy. That's pretty good thinking. Because you know you're going to die down here pretty soon. You're going to die. Everybody in here is going to die. So you think, now, wait a minute. I've made all this money and there's no way I can enjoy it in one lifetime. I'll find out who I'm going to be in the next life and will it to myself. And you talk about us being crazy? Are you kidding? We are calm compared to that kind of wild-eyed, fanatical, ranting and raving. I'm going to call him up. I can tell him who he's going to be. He's going to live in a little place called Marion, North Carolina. He's going to attend this church. And next time somebody's going to have a baby, let me know. And I'm going to call him up. I'm going to say, I found out who you're going to be in your next life. But anyway, all that shows is there's a sucker born every minute. And I tell you, what we've got here this morning has stood the test of time, and it's not some new, I mean, great day in the morning, you know. Lord, I tell you. Matthew chapter 2. Now I'll read you some scripture this morning, preach this. I'm going to take a verse completely out of context this morning and preach on it. But you can do that as long as you don't contradict some other verse of Scripture, if you're careful every now and then. Matthew chapter 2, when the wise men went and seen the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were warned not to go back home because the King Herod was going to kill the young child Jesus. And he began to wonder when the star appeared to them and where Jesus should be born. And they told him in Bethlehem. And verse number 8, the Bible says, sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. He wasn't wanting to go worship the Lord. He just wanted to find out where he was at so he could kill him. Everybody that claims to worship the Lord is not sincere. Sometimes they have another complete wrong motive for doing it. Verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Those were to represent the three offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gold represents him as a king. Frankincense represents him as a priest, offering up the incense, the prayers to God. And myrrh represents his office as a prophet. Myrrh, mine, its bitter perfume. So those three gifts represented the three phases of the Lord's life. When he came at first time, he was a prophet. Right now, he's in heaven. He's a priest, a high priest between us and God. When he comes the next time and sits down on the throne, he'll be king. So he's prophet, priest, and king, represented by gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, look at verse number 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, They departed into their own country another way. Now I want to look at that this morning and preach to you, and you listen real carefully. As these men came to find the Lord Jesus, they came down this certain road, followed the star, and they found out and said, "There he is." Then, before they got ready to leave, the Lord said, "Don't go back that way, back another way." So they took this other road and went home. The point of the message is this morning, they came one way, they found the Lord, and they left another way. And everybody who ever comes to Jesus goes back home a different way than they was when they come. Now I want to preach to you a few minutes on the subject. You're never the same after meeting Jesus. Some were worse, some were better, but nobody the same. Anybody you encounter there, and when Jesus Christ was here in his earthly ministry, he met Pharisees, he met people that were sick, he met sincere and insincere people, and none of them were the same after they were in contact with him. Some of them got meaner and some of them got better. Some of them got sweet and some of them had murder in their heart. But nobody can come in contact with Jesus Christ face to face and remain the same. It just cannot be done. Sometimes people go to the altar and go back home the same way as they were when they came. Sometimes people join the church and go back home the same way as they were when they came. Now, I've heard people say it didn't do no good, preacher. And I said, "What?" They said, "I went to the altar 3 times and nothing never happened to me." You can go to the altar and remain the same. You can join the church and remain the same. You cannot meet Jesus Christ and stay the same. It's impossible. Everybody who's ever met him left a different way. And so this morning I want to show you some men in the Bible about that met Jesus and went a different way. Look over there in Matthew chapter 4, this 2 chapters over from where you are. I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 or 3 scriptures if you will. And in Matthew chapter 4, there were 2 men that met the Lord. Look at verse 18. Their names were Peter and Andrew. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw 2 brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." That means as fishermen. "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." It happened in verse 20. "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." My. Isn't that something? Here these boys made a living. They were commercial fishermen. That's what they'd done for a living. Just like you work in the factory, they worked down there. They would cast their nets out there. They'd bring in a bunch of fish, take them downtown, sell them, freeze them, cook them. I don't know what all they done with them. But anyway, they got those fish. And boy, they had them all there. They were, and suddenly, one day, there come this man down the hill. These men weren't necessarily religious in their background. They weren't, or far, unless maybe they're in Jewish religion. Those men were not necessarily faithful churchgoers. I don't know. I know one thing. They weren't studiers of the law. They were not scribes. They were not men who lived in the temple. They were common, ordinary, everyday, hard-working, middle-class men with a hard-working job, making a living for their families. They'd go to work every day. They'd come into the evening. They would sit down. Their wife would say, "How'd it go today, honey?" They'd say, "Well, we done pretty good today. I'm hoping to get some more fish in here, get these bills paid, and raise my kids right and try to help them out. You know, I got one's going to be 16 pretty soon. They'll be wanting a camel. I'm going to have to try to get her some kind of little camel. Probably have to settle for a donkey, but until she gets about 18. But we'll try to get her something. And you know, we got this house payment coming in here. And you know, this pile here is going up every week. And that little old fella's supposed to mow the grass. I don't know where he's been lately. And I've been working from daylight till dark. And I can't get, but I'm going to try." They were hard working, everyday, ordinary, common men. And boy, they was somebody come walking that way one day. Listen to this now, folks. This man just come walking down through there. They'd done that all their life. And here comes a total stranger walking down there to the bank. And somebody punches up. Andrew says, "Who's that fella?" And they said, "I don't know." He walks right over there and looks at them, bends over and says one statement. "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And they dropped their nets. They dropped the way that they were making their living and took off and followed him. Now you talk about a magnetic personality. I mean, you talk about charisma, man. I mean, you talk about somebody that draws people to them. I'm talking about a man that can meet somebody and in 1 minute's time, they forsake their means of making a living and follow him. And from then on, wound up preaching and helping people and trying to live right. You're never the same after you meet Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I've been going to church for years and it ain't never done nothing for me." You made one mistake. All you've done is go to church. You need to go to the Lord. You need to go to the Lord. Listen, there's somebody here besides me this morning. If you just come here this morning and see me and hear me, you've missed the entire point of the whole thing. We're not here to see me. We're here to me point you somewhere else and get a good look at him. And if I can get your eyes on him, you'll never be the same when you leave here. Boy, I'll tell you, these old boys wound up, Peter, who wound up staying on the boat, throwing his net in that water, he wound up walking on that stuff. I mean, there come a time when he could actually put his feet on the water and walk on it. And so we see that they were not the same. But let's turn over in the book of Mark chapter 3. Let me show you a fella. Mark chapter number 3, there was a man here. After he met the Lord, he was never the same. In Mark chapter 3, look at verse number 1. "And he entered again into the synagogue." You can catch up with me at verse 2. "And there was a man there which had a withered hand." Now look at verse 2. Mark chapter 3 and verse number 2. "And they watched him." They were always watching him, trying to find something wrong with him. Now you see these people that are always watching the preacher and watching the church and watching the deacons and watching the choir, and they're just looking for fault. You'll never find the Lord that way. If you're here this morning trying to find what you can find wrong with this church, I can save you a lot of trouble. I'll write you a whole list of them if you want them. I can tell you enough to fill up a legal sheet of notebook paper of what's wrong with me and this church, and it accomplished you one thing. They watched him. They watched him. They didn't find the Lord. But look, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. They were just trying their best to catch him doing something wrong so they could accuse him. Now, the reason people look for in the church and in the preacher is for one thing, so that they can accuse the preacher or the church of doing wrong, and that way they don't feel guilty for the low down life they're living. Amen? And they think, "Oh well, he's a deacon. Oh well, he's this and he's that. So I'm not so bad after all." Let me tell you something, man. You're just as rotten as if they wasn't doing it. And you're going to answer to God all by yourself one day. And not because of what... There's a lot of people said, "Well, Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart, I ain't never going to church again." That has absolutely nothing to do with us living our life for God. It ain't got a thing to do with it. If ever preacher in Florida in McDowell County got drunk today, you still would be accountable to God for your sins one of these days. That's right. Boy, the old boy here, he had a withered hand, so his hand's all messed up like this. "And they watched him." Look at verse number 3. "And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. But when he had looked around about them with an anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts," he got mad at them for acting like that. "He said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." Here he met this old boy here, and his hand was all drawn up like this. He couldn't use it. And it wasn't one of these modern day healing type deals, you know, where the guy comes up and he says, Oh, Mr. Ainsley, or I was born with one of my arms shorter than the other. Can you help me? Oh, woo, hallelujah, oh, he's healed. No, it wasn't one of that junk like that. I mean, this old boy's hand was like his, and he couldn't use it. And Jesus come up to him one day, and he said, stick your hand out there. And he stuck it out like that. Boy, when he got it about right there, that thing went just like that. And people were amazed. Listen, that man was never the same. He was never the same. Hey, somebody come to him about a month later, and they said, hey, anything big happened to you lately? He said, it sure has. Shake my hand. He said, I can shake hands. You couldn't shake hands. He said, I can flip my pages through my Bible now. I used to couldn't do that. He said, I can take that. He said, I can give out gospel tracts with that hand now. He said, I never have been the same since I met that man called Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Danny, that stuff like that don't happen now. Listen, brother, these people sitting right here in this church this morning, that your hands used to hold a beer can. And boy, had them every day. Or used to deal a card, you know. And you used to deal them things out like this. And you know, you could throw them around that table. You could tell that ace when you failed it. And you tell it's been a while since I shuffled any. But I tell you what, boy, you could pull them things out, but now them same hands take gospel tracts and hand them out to you. Isn't that amazing? You're never the same after you meet the Lord. Them hands that did hold a beer have now a Bible. Them hands that did at once maybe held a switchblade now hold a copy of the Word of the Living God. Brother, He can still do something for your hands. He can still do something for your feet. You're never the same after meeting Jesus. Let me show you another one in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter number 5, there's a man there and he's called the maniac of Gadara. I mean, the man was plumb crazy. And boy, the Bible tells us that he spent his time crying, cutting himself late at night. He about there screaming and hollering in the tombs. In verse number 5, always he was in the mountains crying and cutting himself with stones. Stop right there just a second. That was verse number 5 that I just read. This old boy, he was crazy. He was filled with demons. He could not go by the rules. He could not quit his sin. As a matter of fact, he'd get up there at night and he'd scream and holler and cut himself like that. Did you know something this morning, folks? Do you realize that these people are in these rock concerts that throw razor blades in their arm sleeves and in their britches, and then they run into each other and just slice each other up and cut, and they like to torture themselves with whip chain. You know what's the matter with them people? They're full of demons. That's what's mad about this man. They were demon possessed. And that old boy, he would cry out there at night and he'd go, rah! Catching up. And it was like on some kind of a horror movie, hanging around graveyards, out there screaming at night, making weird noises, and nobody could do anything with him. And they said, we're going to chain him up. He'd break the chains. They said, we're going to put him in an insane asylum. It didn't do him no good. But one day he heard that Jesus Christ was coming by. The Bible said in verse number 6, when he saw him afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And verse number 8, the Lord said, come out of him, thou unclean spirit. And boy, they had enough demons in him. Well, there's 2,000 pigs over here on the hillside there feeding off of that thing. And boy, there was enough demons in that man to make those 2,000 pigs, Jojo, just running off of the bank, jump in the ocean and commit hogicide. And buddy, they drowned them up. They couldn't stand it. That means some of you people maybe here this morning have got something inside you so nasty that it'd make a pig kill himself. But I'm telling you this morning, after he met the Lord, that boy straightened up. He got all dressed up and put him on a nice clothes. And he sat at the feet of Jesus. And everybody was amazed. They could not believe it. Nobody's the same after they have an encounter with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And let me say today, it still works in this thing. If you ever meet him, you'll never be the same. Listen, I went to school with people. I would have been voted the least likely in my class to be a preacher. Guarantee it. If you'd have asked the senior class, who in here do you think has the least chance of becoming a preacher? I'll guarantee you my name would at least been in the top 3. They can't believe it. I still meet people that's been gone over. They said, I heard you was a preacher. And I said, yeah, I am. What do you think about that? They said, I'd have never thought it. You was the meanest kid I knew. And I said, well, you're never the same after meeting Jesus. The night I got saved at Nebo Baptist Church, heard me tell about it over and over and over. I had my little OMG parked outside, and boy, we come in there that night. I had an old pair of blue jeans on, had a flag sewed on down here. Had my Grand Funk Railroad taped out in my car. I mean, I was bad to the bone. But deep down inside, I was miserable and I wasn't happy. And there was something missing inside. That night I stood back there and you know, I never felt like that in my life. My heart began to pound. I mean, there was some people up singing, but I could think about it was God's here. God's here. It's a difference with people when they go to church when the Lord is right there in that thing, buddy. It makes all a difference in the world. And that night I come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. I stepped out of my seat. I came down that aisle, down on that altar. You couldn't get to the altar. There were so many people praying. I wound up laying right in front of them. I was right in front of the little table here, flat on my face, just laying down on the floor, on my belly. Now I remember I cried and I cried and I said, "Dear God, oh God, dear God, I've been wrong. I'm a sorry low down dog. I ought to be in hell." And about 45 minutes later, I got up. I was wiping tears. I didn't know if anybody else was there or not. I sat down on the front row. That old preacher, Brother Parson, is preaching revival. He got up right in front of everybody. He looked right down at me, pointed his finger at me. He had never seen me before in his life. I'd never seen him. He pointed his finger at me and said, "You get everything straight, young man." And I said, "Yes, sir." I wouldn't have dared told nothing there. I said, "Yes, sir, I sure did." And you know what happened? That night somebody come up to me, I believe it was that right after service, I believe. They put their arm around me. They said, "Well, Danny, I'm proud of you." And I said, "Lord have mercy, what's happening here? What have I done? What have I done?" And they put their arm around me and somebody said, "Oh, Danny here," he said, "he's gonna be a preacher." And everybody, "Ha ha ha, ha yeah, ha, ha." Wasn't it funny? Yeah, yeah, me. And boy, I'll tell you what, little did I know, I hadn't been saved but about 3 or 4 months when I turned over everything to God and I gave Him everything. I started reading this book. It started changing me on the inside. The way I looked at everything started getting different. The way I thought about everything was different. What I used to love, I then hated. What I used to hate, I now love. I used to absolutely despise gospel music. I thought, "Lord, have mercy. That is a sickness, Sam." My mom would have it on every Sunday morning. I'd be wanting to sleep. I mean, I could hear them in that, "Jubilee, Jubilee, you're invited to this happy Jubilee." I mean, I ain't crazy over that now. I tell you what, boy, I hated it then. I said, "Great day in the morning." I mean, I like Jungle Thump, you know. I mean, the low down, raunchier, fleshly, the better. I mean, like, yeah, you know, some of that stuff some of you people enjoy. But I tell you what, boy, all of a sudden, God, put something down inside me. And boy, we start our guitars out. I got on the piano and I started trying to pick out "Amazing Grace" and "Just As I Am." And the first thing I know, people start coming around saying, "What has happened to Dan? Has he lost his mind?" I was at Hardy's one day. Not long after that, one of my high school teachers was sitting over there. When I sat down, she said, I heard her lean over and tell somebody else, she said, "That's Danny Castle. He's mixed up in some kind of religion." And I mean, we used to flirt with her in high school. She was a real young teacher. And I mean, she's wicked, man. And she thought, "Poor thing. He's messed up his life." I went back to one guy who was over here at East Junior High at where I worked, and I went to one of the coaches and apologized for some stuff we'd stole from over there. And I mean, it'd been a long time. And I saw him out there one day, and I said, "Hey, man, we took some football jerseys." And I said, "We should have never done that. And I just wanted you to know, I don't even know whatever happened to him, but I'm sorry. And if I owe the school anything, I'll be glad to pay it." He went, "Wow!" He said, "Well, one thing about it, son, I admire you for having the guts to come tell me like that." I said, "I'm different. I'm different. Something's changed inside me. Something's happened to me. Something's happened." And bless the Lord this morning, folks. Something happened that glorious night. Something happened that glorious day. way. I've never been the same. Sometimes I've been meaner than a snake still. And sometimes that old flesh still crawls. But I'll tell you, from that night till this day, there's been something inside me that's never changed, that's never let me go. You're never, ever the same after meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll do something to you. He'll change you. You say, well, I know somebody, if they change, then they change back, preacher. Well, that flesh may get the victory. I'll grant you that. But they'll never be exactly the way they was. They'll be miserable trying to live for the devil if they're really saved. Listen, if there's ever been a time in your life when you've been really honest to goodness saved, you will never ever be happy till you get right. You won't do it. Well, that maniac boy, he cast the demons out of him. And as you know, that old boy changed. Somebody saw him about a week or two later, and they said, boy, what happened to you? He said, what? He said, what are you talking about? What is the hand to the lute? What is breath to the flute? He said, what is fragrance to the smell? What is spring to the well? What is flowers to the bee? What is that is Jesus Christ to me? What is mother to the child? What is the guide and pathless wild? What is the oil to a troubled wave? What is the ransom to the slave? What is water to the sea? That is Jesus Christ to me. You're never ever the same after meeting Him. But we could go on and on and on and on. We see in throughout the Word of God. I won't take time for this. I'm going to hurry and close. The blind man in Mark chapter 8 said, now I see. They come up to him. They said, what happened to you, friend? He said, I don't know. He said, I don't know what that fella done to me. He said, I don't even know if he's a good man, bad man. But he said, one thing I know, I once was blind and now I can see. He said, you fella can say what you want to. He said, you can criticize, you can talk about him, you can say whatever you want. But he said, I want to tell you one thing, boys. I couldn't see the sunshine. I couldn't see nothing, but now I can. Now you can do with it whatever you want to do with it. And I want to tell you this morning, friend, there's a lot of skeptics. We have a lot of critics. We have a lot of people that don't like Christians and everything. But there's one thing they can't deny. Our eyes are open. We once was blind and now we see. Listen to this. I heard about a little girl. I think it might have been Christmas time. I don't know. And her daddy used to be real wicked. He'd come in drunk and beat them and slap them around. You know these men that come in and are real hateful and slap their wives and cuss. And well, you know what they need? They need to meet the Lord. The Lord's the only thing that can get that devilman out of a person like that. Because men, I mean, they're just full of sin. They're just full of hate and full of bitterness. And they take it out on their wife or on their family. And this little girl's daddy had drunk liquor and lived like a devil, and he got saved. And he got saved and he quit all that. And he started being good to his wife and a good daddy to his children. Somebody come in one day and they was talking to the wife and they said, Daddy got saved! Daddy got saved! Praise the Lord! And the old skeptic said, oh, your daddy's in a dream world. He's dreaming. And the little girl was crying. You've heard the song they made out of it. She said, sir, if my daddy's dreaming, don't wake him up. Because now he's good to me. And now he pays the bills. And he don't go by the liquor store no more and spend all his money and let us do without. Daddy's good to me. This world's full of sin and full of hate this morning. What people need is the Lord. You know, you don't only live different when you get saved. You die different. I've seen people talking about a difference when you get saved. I seen a girl come up there in our old building one time, long time ago. Our church was about 2 or 3 years old. When she came in that night, she was a real pretty, blonde-headed young lady. Her life was already messed up in sin. I guess she's maybe 19, something like that. She came in, she sat right in here, up there, and I think I preached to her. We had something going on, and she just looked like this, you know, just like, her face was just like, you could see she'd done went out and messed herself up. There's just something about a teenager, a young person, when they sin and do wrong, they just have this like a shadow over them. They don't look clean. They look dirty. And that night that girl came to the altar And she was praying, and there's several other ladies got down there and prayed with her. And I was up here like this, giving the invitation, and I'll never forget. She stopped and looked like this. And when she looked up, tears were just running down her face. And it was like you could see. It was just like these lights up here. Somebody just turned a light on her face. Except it was coming from the inside. It was just like... Pfft. Her eyes sparkled. Her smile was bright. And I mean, you could almost see when the Lord moved in her. I mean, it was just like... Bing. And I've seen that happen over and over and over. It's just like somebody turned a light on inside your soul. And then when it comes time for you to die... You die different. You know how you can tell if a man's religion's any good or not? By the way he dies. If your religion ain't good enough to die with, it ain't worth a dime. All you're doing is making yourself miserable. You take a real other religion in the world, you take a Buddhist, set him right there this morning, and say, all right, you're going to die today. He has no peace. Muslim, no peace. You take a man here, just goes to church every Sunday and tries to help out his neighbor. He has no peace. You take a person that's met the Lord Jesus Christ, put their faith and trust in Him. They've been knowing this day's coming for a long time. I've seen them go in the operating room and me worried about them and say, we're going to be praying for you. And them smile and look up and say, it's all right, Brother Danny. I've already got it all fixed up. If I don't make it out of here, I'll see you later, Lord. I'll beat you there. And not a, just as calm as a cucumber. I mean, cool as a cucumber. Whatever cucumbers are supposed to be. Buddy, I've seen you do that. And I think, wow, man. Wow, I wish the world could see that. That's dying. Today. He'll change. Let's stand and bow our head. Every head bowed and every eye closed. They're going to get us a song this morning. And I want to ask you a question. Have you ever in your life come to grips, face to face, encountered the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, if you don't know that you're saved, if you don't know that you're saved, I mean, don't let Christmas come and go, friend, if you don't know you're saved. The greatest Christmas you could have this year would be to get your heart right with God. Your family happier, your son would be happier, your daughter would be happier, your mama, your daddy, the Lord Himself, the people in heaven would be happier if you'd get your life right with God. You've been thinking about it. And you're full of envy and full of hate and full of bitterness. And you're mad at the world. But let me tell you something this morning, friend. He can help you. The Lord can help you. And He's the only one that can help you. Your life ain't never going to get no better until you turn it over to Him. Dear God in heaven, help that man, that woman, that boy, or that girl who needs to come to this altar, to come this morning and settle this issue once and for all and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to pray. We've already got some praying this morning. If God's dealing with your heart, why don't you come right now? Come on. Come on right now. Just get out of your seat and come. Amen. Somebody come pray with that little boy right over there. Come on. Come on. Turn it over to Jesus. Everybody say it. Amen. Amen. Yes. 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 Say another, Brother John. Why are we singing? Come on. Right now. Come on. Just get out of your seat and come. If you need to come, come right now. Come on. Let's settle things between you and God. Don't wait on somebody else. Don't wait on somebody else. Right now. Right now. Come. Come on. Come on. Just get out of your seat and come. Let the Lord help you right now. Let the Lord help you right now. Come on. Come on. God help you right now.
Blood can cleanse each bottle and
amen. Amen.
Of God I come.
Will you come?
I come.
One more verse. We'll sing one more verse. This is for you.
Just
sing. Sing. You need to come. Come.
I am, thou wilt receive.
Amen.
Wilt well impart.
Somebody else.
Done.
Yes.
Cleanse, relief.
Amen. Let the Lord help you this morning, friend.
Because thou promised.
Amen.
I be.
Thank God. Yes. One of you ladies, pray with these girls here. Let God.
Just as I am.
Amen. Hallelujah. God's answering prayers here this morning. Hey, He can do it for you. He can do it for you today. Why don't you come?
Wash it for me.
Amen. Amen.
And that.
Amen.
Thou bids me come to thee.
Oh, Lamb of God, I come.
Of God, I come.
Yes, hallelujah. Say it, brother. Everybody, let's sing. Everybody, one more verse.
Just as I am and waiting
amen.
To
come on.
My soul
that's right.
Of one
that's right.
Dark blood
amen.
To Thee whose amen. Blood cleanses each spot.
Hallelujah! Thank God! Thank God!
God, I come.
Come on, come on, somebody else, come on.
I come.
Well, some still coming. Let's pray. I mean, let's sing. We'll pray in a minute. Let's sing. Amen, everybody.
I am thou. Now,
He will receive you.
Receive.
He will receive you.
Welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, be. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Yes.
I
hallelujah.
Come.
All right, these are still praying without any more singing right now. Thank God. Thank God. Boy, we've had a move here this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did somebody pray with somebody that got saved over here? Did somebody pray with us? These folks were just rededicating their life. Hey, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. Amen. I tell you what, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. When the Lord moves in. Somebody sitting in a testimony the other night said, something moved in, something moved out. That's a good way of putting it. The devil moves out, the Lord moves in. While these are finishing praying, let me take just a minute. Oh, we got some people supposed to join the church this morning, ain't we? Who's supposed to join the church this morning? I thought we did. I talked to Mark, Brother Mark, y'all on? Are y'all ready this morning? Okay, Brother Mark and Susan and Heather. It's Brother Mark Brooke and his wife, Susan, and their daughter Heather, while they're coming. While they're